Autumn would love to introduce you to Scale IP, the world's fastest growing IP commercialization software. Are you ready to transform your tech transfer office into a marketing powerhouse? Using proprietary IP transaction data, Scale IP helps you easily find high intent companies that partner or license with universities, gain technical fit insights, and launch personalized email campaigns with the right IP decision makers to save time, money, and effort. Don't let your innovations get lost in the shuffle. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free offer when you sign up with promo code AutumnLove1 at www.scaleip.com. That's Autumn, love, the number one, at www.scaleip.com.
You're listening to Autumn on the Air, the weekly podcast that brings you conversations about the impact of research commercialization and the people who make it happen. Join us for interviews with patent and licensing professionals, innovators, entrepreneurs, and tech transfer leaders on the issues and trends that matter most. Keep listening for an inside track on the people, IP policies, and politics changing our world.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Autumn on the Air, where we dive deep into the transformative power of technology transfer and explore innovations that make a real difference in our communities. Today, we're focusing on a unique collaboration that connects technology transfer with mental health awareness, Wichita State University's Suspenders for Hope Initiative. This program, which offers suicide prevention and mental health training, has expanded far beyond Wichita State's campus to impact industries and communities across the country. Joining us are three guests who have been instrumental in making this program a success. First, Rob Gerlach, Associate Vice President, Tech Commercialization and Industry Engagement at Wichita State University, who brings extensive experience in building partnerships that transfer WSU's innovation to the market. We're also joined by Keyshawn Khan, Program Manager for Tech Transfer and Commercialization at WSU. Keyshawn works closely with WSU's Counseling Services team to spread Suspenders for Hope to new industries and partners. And finally, we're thrilled to welcome Dr. Jessica Provines, Assistant Vice President of Wellness and Chief Psychologist within the Division of Student Affairs at WSU. Jessica and her team developed the Suspenders for Hope program, and her expertise in mental health makes her a key figure in this initiative's growth. Thanks for being here, Rob, Keyshawn, and Jessica. Really excited to have you on the podcast today.
Thanks, Lisa. Really excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this conversation. Thank you.
Great. And we're, like I said, super excited to have the three of you here. This is such an important conversation, and this is really a very fascinating story. So I thought maybe the best place to kick this conversation off is, Jessica, could you tell us a little bit about how Suspenders for Hope was originally conceived and what inspired you to even bring this program to life?
Yeah, well, it really started from, personal experience. I went through my own depression as a college student at Wichita State University, which led me into the field of mental health and pursuing, clinical psychology. And then, tragically, it was my own experience through suicide loss that made this cause near and dear to my heart. And we got a federal SAMHSA campus suicide prevention grant to work on this issue. And I was really looking forward to learning from, the national technical experts on what are the evidence-based strategies to help, promote mental wellness and reduce deaths of despair. But it was that same month when we got the funding that sadly, again, I lost another student. And so I know I'm not the only one who's experienced you know, that kind of pain and that kind of grief. And for me, I didn't deal with it, you know, very openly. I think I just got to work and tried to fix it, tried to solve it. But I look back and think it was a really great opportunity that I was able to work on that grant and dedicate, you know, my life really to becoming an expert in this. And after we had created a successful program on campus, it was a desire to continue to help more people. You know, how can we take this program? That was a lot. It took a lot for us to stand it up and to build it. And I knew that other people who were cared about this issue and were passionate about it, that the work that we had done could help them get started so they could be making an impact in their communities. And I really wasn't sure how to do that. I just had a desire to share the message of hope, you know, that we can uplift one another through difficult times. And I'm so grateful that we had an Office of Tech Transfer to help guide me in the process, because I didn't know what I was going to do.
Well, that leads me to ask, before I turn to Rob and Zeeshan, you know, what even led you to the Tech Transfer Office? I mean, you don't have a typical type of invention or product. So how did you even find out about the Tech Transfer Office?
Well, Wichita State University is absolutely a leader in innovation and technology transfer, and they had been investing a lot into building up a new department on our campus and hiring personnel to help our faculty and, you know, staff like me with our intellectual property and all that stuff to bring it to life. And so they'd been doing lots of advertising on campus. Do you have an idea? You know, here's how you can learn about it. So I really think it has a lot to do with the ethos here at Wichita State University, as well as in Wichita, Kansas. We're, you know, definitely have an entrepreneurial spirit and are, you know, committed to, you know, trying to make big impact.
Yeah, it sounds like that outreach was really successful in your case. So, Rob, let's turn to you being in the Tech Transfer Office. And from that perspective, what was it like when this program first came to your office? I mean, certainly, like I just mentioned, it's not your traditional invention or product.
Yeah, when Jess and her team first came to the Tech Transfer Office, I was pretty new to the university. And you know, when we first started looking at it and trying to analyze it, you're exactly right. It didn't fit the typical mold of what I would expect to see in a tech transfer office. You know, I had before coming to Wichita State, I'd done quite a bit of reading to understand what is tech transfer and what do we typically work on in tech transfer. And it's really, really patent heavy. And obviously something like Suspenders for Hope didn't fit into that mold. But Jess and her team were committed to trying to find a way to continue to progress this and move it forward and to leverage what they did underneath the federal grant to make sure that it didn't just stay contained within Wichita State University. And that's something that I think, you know, when you really zoom out, what is the purpose of tech transfer is to try to keep something when you zoom out and look at the purpose of tech transfer is to try to prevent something from being kept on the college campus and instead trying to get it out and to make sure that it meets the full potential of whatever it is. And so from that standpoint, although Suspenders for Hope didn't fit the traditional mold, the purpose of us trying to move it definitely was still in the same spirit and still in the same vein. And so we really quickly got to work with Jess and her team to try to put together a strategy of how we can advance this, even though it's not your typical invention with a patent around it.
Yeah, and I think what I really love about this story is it shows tremendous impact for something that's not protected by a patent. So I think that's what really helps make this a great story. And now, Zeeshan, I understand this project initially posed some challenges for your office. Can you tell us what made Suspenders for Hope stand out as a unique case?
Yeah, Suspenders for Hope was indeed a unique project for our office and came with its own set of challenges. Typically, when we introduce new technologies or innovations, we're engaging with stakeholders who have some prior knowledge or background in the relevant field. However, with Suspenders for Hope, we are working in a whole different space, mental wellness. which isn't always as familiar or comfortable for everyone to discuss openly. What set Suspenders for Hope apart was the need for us as a team to not only promote the initiative, but to deeply understand it and embody its mission as ambassadors. So this meant preparing ourselves to have those meaningful conversations to ensure that we could effectively communicate its value, and making sure that we were up to date with ongoing programming and the Suspenders for Hope team's activities in the community. So there was a challenge from purely shifting from a technical focus to addressing a sensitive human-centered topic. And it was essential to create an environment where these conversations were informative, empathetic, and impactful.
Yeah, I do give you all a lot of credit for the creativity that I think you've shown with this particular program. And speaking of that, I think, Jessica, one of the things that I found really neat was the use of non-exclusive licensing for mental health training. You know, that's pretty innovative. How did you and the team decide on this approach, and what benefits does it offer?
Well, so the approach was really the result of our team signing up for a multi-week kind of course. It was called an e-launch program, helping, you know, individuals who were trying to, you know, turn their ideas into an entrepreneurial venture. So we went through this with Rob's team. Actually, Rob was leading the group, and they were helping us identify our minimum viable product, which is something, you know, as a psychologist and a mental health care professional, I had never heard of before. And of course, we're thinking we need this elaborate like app and online training system. And Rob is like, no, you have a brand, you have a symbol. The Suspenders for Hope was really, you know, it was kind of like this beacon on our campus that when you saw it, you knew that someone was a mental health advocate and they were proud of their journey, or, you know, they were willing to support someone who was in distress, and you would just see them all over. And he's like, that is something that's your MVP, and we can license that. And I looked at him and I was like, what are you talking about? I don't understand how that works. So I'd like to say that it was our idea, but it really was the tech transfers, office's expertise and their ability to help us figure out, you know, how do we scale this and how do we bring it to others? So I'm so grateful for their willingness to learn about what we do and help us figure out a path forward.
So Rob, tell us a little bit about what led you to a non-exclusive licensing model and why you thought it made sense for Suspenders for Hope. And how do you think it aligns with the program's broader goals?
Yeah, so I think one of the challenges I had originally with this Suspenders for Hope was what am I packaging up? How do I package it up? And how do I make sure that I use it and do it in a way that fulfills the mission of Suspenders for Hope and doesn't, in some ways, license it out and get it locked up? And so, you know, I tend to read a lot. I like to read a lot. And I had read before an article on Stanford's licensing program. And they, back, I think it was the 70s or the 80s, they licensed out the Cohen-Boyer patents, which I know were patents.
Yes, they
but
were.
What I, when I read the article, what fascinated with me was their strategy of how they got it out there. And they had this whole approach of, for certain groups, they were going to license it this way. And it was always non-exclusive to try to make sure that it could continue to reach its full potential of the technology. And so I think I kind of remembered that article. I went back and looked into it a little bit. And I thought through a process of, how can we at Wichita State University try to emulate something similar to that? Obviously, we don't have a patent. But instead, we have all of these training materials. We have a branding campaign. We have a symbol that's really well recognized. I walk across campus and I see students wearing a Suspenders for Hope shirt. I mean, that's kind of unique. That's something that clearly it was touching a chord with young people who wanted to wear it out in public and weren't ashamed to wear it out in public. And so we started to slowly, through many conversations with Jess and her team, to understand what they thought this could look like and how we could do it in a non-exclusive manner so that way we can get it out there. How do we make it very approachable for different companies or nonprofit organizations or other universities that might want to license this? And so we've really tried to keep that in mind, that it needs to be approachable, but also that it needs to be flexible and that we need to make sure that we can meet people where they're at. And so to me, that was why we decided on this non-exclusive licensing model. It seems to fulfill the university's mission. You know, Wichita State is uniquely positioned in the state of Kansas. We're Kansas's only urban-serving public university. We sit right inside Wichita, Kansas. And so that was really where the model started to come to life and take shape. And then throughout the years, we've continued to mold it and adjust it and look to other ways to support it if it doesn't make sense. And it's just been, it's kind of an evolving thing, I would say, Lisa, but it's been a lot of fun to watch.
Now, speaking of impact, Suspenders for Hope has been adopted by various industries, including the restaurant and hospitality industry, which has some of the highest suicide and overdose rates. Zeeshan, can you talk a little bit about some of the partnerships you've developed to help tackle mental health issues in these high priority fields?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. These sectors do face some unique and significant challenges when it comes to mental health. It's no secret that these environments can be high pressure, fast paced, and often very demanding. And it requires employees to constantly be on their feet and maintain a positive customer facing demeanor. So for many, particularly workers who may view working in a high-end restaurant as a second chance at stability, the stakes are even higher. And this is why our partnerships in these sectors are so crucial. What has stood out to me in our partnerships is just how personal this topic is for many individuals within these sectors. When we introduce Suspenders for Hope, we notice how quickly people resonate with it. They recognize it not just as another program, but as a lifeline. And it's something that acknowledges the challenges that they face and offers real support. When working with our partners, the approach quickly becomes an all hands on deck approach, bringing together the employers, the employees, community partners to foster environments where mental health conversations are normalized and support systems are strengthened. It's been inspiring. It's been very inspiring to witness not only the adoption of Suspenders for Hope resources, but also the proactive effort to spread awareness and encourage peers to engage. And so we've already seen the benefits these resources bring, and we're committed to expanding this program further into sectors that need it the most, where the stakes for mental well-being are at their highest.
Wow, that's really incredible. And, you know, who would have thought construction having the highest level of suicide and overdose rates, or a high level at least, that's amazing. So, Jessica, I want to turn back to you because you've been deeply involved in developing the Suspenders for Hope training. What are some of the core elements of the training that make it so impactful, both on campus and, as we just heard, in the restaurant and hospitality, as well as other industries?
Yeah, well, one of our goals is actually we try to be more than a training, because there are other trainings that you can do out there. But how do you get the engagement in that? How do you get a training to translate into culture change and a movement? So we were really focused on creating a movement here on our campus and out into our community throughout our state and beyond. And so you really need a comprehensive strategy to do that. And so there are lots of different frameworks and toolkits out there, developed by the National Suicide Prevention Resource Center and things like that. But a problem that we've often found is that these toolkits, the research doesn't always work when you apply it to industry. You know, industry, we've found they want something quick. They want something simple. So what we really did was try and take the most impactful parts of a strategy and simplify it into a four-part step that organizations could implement in a very turnkey fashion to make a big impact and a big difference. And so it includes, you know, a robust awareness campaign where we're empowering our community to share their stories of hope, recovery, and resilience, helping to crush, you know, that stigma. It also includes a series of trainings. You know, we have a promoting mental wellness training, a preventing suicide training, a substance use and mental wellness training, and those are available online for free, but we also certify trainers. And so, you know, we've packaged, you know, the training as part of that as well. And we saw a 426% increase in the number of our campus participants who were volunteering to take our training after we tied it with the overall Suspenders for Hope message and campaign. We've also developed a micro curriculum that, you know, different instructors could infuse into their coursework, but we didn't want it just to be an educational moment. We really wanted it to be an opportunity to foster connection, increase shared vulnerability between peers so they could have a support system to lean on when times get difficult. And we've adapted that curriculum now for managers to use with their teams, you know, and your staff meetings and things like that. And in addition, we have an advocate program. So we really give our advocates a list of action steps on what they can easily do to help increase the collective impact of all of us on this campaign. So that's it, that four-step approach: the campaign, the trainings, the curriculum, the advocate program, and now we've been adapting it to workplaces because it really is a top priority on employers' minds. You know, it costs employers a lot in absenteeism and presenteeism, and so your productivity increases when you have a mentally healthy workforce. And so now we've been adapting it, you know, for workplaces. We've been adapting it to Spanish, to Vietnamese. We've been working with faith communities. And we really try and learn about the organizations that we're working with and say, okay, how can we take this core curriculum and adapt it to what works for you? So like, for example, you know, in faith communities, prayer cards are something that are used. And so we created prayer cards with a free QR code to the preventing suicide training as a way to really join with the culture that we're trying to enhance.
Wow, that's absolutely incredible, the impact and the reach that you're having. So Rob, for you, I'm curious, what has it been like to brand and manage the intellectual property for a mental health initiative like this? Because it's such a unique and socially focused project.
Yeah, Lisa, I think one of the things that we've tried to keep in mind at Wichita State as we look at how to brand this is I have to meet the program where it's at. And that's something personally I'm very big on. I always talk about IP strategy with startups and small businesses, that they need to understand their IP strategy. And they also have to understand how they're playing the game, because every business, every company, everyone plays the game a little bit differently based on where they're at, based on how much money they might have available to pursue different things. And so one of the things that we have focused on while building out this brand for Suspenders for Hope is how do we start small? And then how do we over time continue to grow it? So one thing that we've done is we have a separate website, suspendersforhope.com, for example. And it's definitely Wichita State University branded. It's got the WSU logo right up there on top because Suspenders for Hope is coming from Wichita State University. But Suspenders for Hope is now starting to build its own equity itself and its own brand equity. And so what we've done is we've started with just common law protection, putting a little TM afterwards. And now we've gone on, we're in the process. I think we filed a federal trademark application now for Suspenders for Hope. And so what we'll do over time is we'll continue to grow and build out how we protect the intellectual property portfolio is something that we definitely have to maintain and be aware of, because that is how we are successfully packaging together and licensing this out, is through trademarks and through copyright protection. So it has been very different than the traditional tech transfer project, like we've talked about. There's not a patent application, and I'm not watching this go through prosecution in front of the USPTO. So it's just, it is different. But one of the benefits that we have in the Tech Transfer Office at Wichita State is that we also work very closely with our Office of Strategic Communications on managing the university's brand itself. So we manage the university's trademark portfolio for all of Wichita State University. And so this has been able to fit well into that. So we already had some of those muscles that we could continue to exercise as we start to grow and build this.
So Zeeshan, I'm wondering, given all this, what kind of responses have you seen from industries or communities who've adopted this training? Have you seen any unexpected success stories to date?
Yeah, the responses that we have seen from industries and communities that are adopting Suspenders for Hope have been very positive. And I think that Jessica is an amazing example of someone who is going out into the community and really doing the work to spread the word of hope. And there's this organic growth of the program that is really great to be a part of. And Jessica's been really the tip of the spear whenever it comes down to really spreading the message. So from the view, from the lens of like social media, I'm always seeing all the good news that is coming from the Suspenders for Hope team, from Jessica, and also everyone who is supporting the program itself. What resonates with me the most is how it's meeting a deep need for mental health awareness and support, and that the impact for people is that, you know, they are they feel seen, they feel heard, and they're now equipped with the tools to support themselves and others. So one story that did stand out to me was it's a story that Suspenders for Hope actually features on their website, is Randy's Story for Hope. It was a really unexpected moment to see Randy's face on the video, and because he's someone I went to school with, and he was older than me, and so I had a lot of respect for the way that he held himself up, and he was moving with a different purpose than the rest of my peers at the time. So I remember that he was studying for his PhD, and he was very dedicated to his studies and also student organizations that we were both a part of at the time. And so when I heard about Randy's story, it was really, it was very moving, because I saw that he struggled with mental health issues, and being a student athlete at a very in a very competitive sport in a D1 school brings its own set of challenges that students don't see every day. And so to hear more about it, about his story, it really was eye-opening and underscored the importance of being mindful of my own mental health, and recognizing the struggles that aren't always visible for myself and those around me. So Randy's journey, it definitely inspired me to take a deeper dive into what Suspenders for Hope has to offer, and to reinforce why initiatives like this are essential, because they not only bring support and awareness, but it's a reminder to us that anyone, even those we admire, can face battles we might not see. So,
no, that's great. Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, Jessica, Zeeshan mentioned the organic growth of Suspenders for Hope, and It's reaching communities far outside the university right now. What kind of impact are you hoping to see in the long term from the program?
You know, my dream is that we just can help transform lives. I want everyone to know that we're all going to have, you know, difficulties and moments of despair when we're not sure if it's all worth it. But being able to help bring a message to people, you know, in those times of hope that they can transform that. Oftentimes it is going through that very thing that is difficult that can help lead you to your purpose, you know, and help you find meaning. And that's really what this program has done for me. And I just want to share that, you know, with other people, with as many people as we can. You know, of course, we want to make an impact. We want to reduce deaths of despair. You know, we want to help see the numbers of suicide and overdose rates, you know, come down. And we have a dream. You know, my daughter, she was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And, you know, it was a very scary time in our life as, you know, I'm trying to learn how to navigate, you know, what it's like having a 6-year-old who's dependent on insulin. And, you know, as I come out of the hospital, I realized I had so much support. I had, you know, she had different teddy bears from different foundations, and I had books, and I had an online parent support group, and she had things for, you know, for her classmates to help them understand, you know, why she had to check her blood sugar all the time. And I just thought, wow, you know, why do people who go through a mental health crisis not receive the same kind of love and support that my daughter was receiving? You know, oftentimes if you go to an emergency room or a crisis center in a psychiatric emergency or after an overdose, the societal message is oftentimes to pretend like you were never there. And, you know, my goal is that people understand that reaching out and asking for help in those times is a strength. And those are triumphs that should be celebrated and not shameful secrets, you know, to be hidden. So we just really want to unite everybody. We want to unite all sectors. We want to help transform lives so we can help people understand, you know, how amazing they are and they can be a part of this solution.
Rob, looking at this from a tech transfer angle, do you have any lessons learned or advice for structuring partnerships on non-traditional innovations such as this with Suspenders for Hope?
Yeah, I think my number one lesson is to always remember to think outside the box. Because when it comes to technology transfer, we're dealing with things, patents, trademarks, whatever it might be, that tend to be very structured. We receive a disclosure. We put it into a database. We then have to, if there's a grant associated, make sure we report it to the granting agency within a certain amount of time. And very quickly, you become in this process where you go da 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 da, and you just keep moving it down the line. But then you never stop to think outside the box to think, how could I use something? You never stop to think outside the box of how could I help this get somewhere other than this most traditional course. And so the beauty of Suspenders for Hope is I didn't get to go through that process at all when it came in because it was so far outside the scope of what I typically was seeing at the time. And so it made me immediately think outside the box. And I realized I had to be flexible, creative, lean into Jess and her team, and make sure that I'm not trying to just move this along the process because there wasn't that standard structure to follow. So to me, that's my number one lesson out of this. And then a second lesson is leverage resources that you have. And Jess's team has done a phenomenal job at this. I'll never forget I can't remember, I think it was at the YMCA maybe working out that day. And Wichita State basketball team was on the television. They were playing Florida Atlantic, FAU, and it was a blackout game where everybody in the stands was wearing Suspenders for Hope shirts because Jess had made a connection and got into athletics and was able to have the team buy into it. And I think, Jess, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they wore them as warm-up shirts. They had them on during the warm-ups. Is that right, Jess?
Yeah, they did, including the dance and the cheer team and the band.
Wow.
So
that's amazing.
And it was just awesome to see, because it was this culmination. It goes back to what Zeeshan was saying. It's a culmination of seeing D1 athletes at a major program, Wichita State has a strong basketball program, and yet they were leaning into this Suspenders for Hope message. And that really is powerful for young kids to see. And I think it's powerful for adults and other students to see that type of a setting. And so to me, that's an example of just leverage the resources we have. We had a platform, we have a strong basketball program. We found a way to get into it, and we found a way to amplify the message of what we're doing. And so those two lessons would be my number one takeaways from the Suspenders for Hope project.
Now, Zeeshan, Rob mentioned resources, and I wanted to ask you, are there any specific resources or guidelines you could think of that could help other tech transfer offices get involved in similar social impact initiatives?
Yeah, I think the first, I think one guideline I like to follow is, how are we fulfilling needs rather than just trying to sell a product or technology or service that we're working with? For example, when we introduce initiatives like Suspenders for Hope, our goal is to identify where it can truly make a difference and create partnerships that address those needs directly. We're talking about the construction industry. We're talking about the hospitality industry, the restaurant industry. These are all sectors that we feel very strongly need this type of attention. And so if we're targeting several industries at the same time, and we're trying to spread the message like rapid fire without really knowing that background of what does that competition look like, or what existing services are there within that specific industry, then it really defeats the purpose of trying to establish new partnerships that would be meaningful. So for tech transfers that are for tech transfer offices that are looking to get involved in social impact projects, I think the starting point is an assessment of what resources and expertise that you have in your organizations. You know, we're fortunate enough to have Jessica and her team leading the charge for Suspenders for Hope. And then looking at what is it that you might need to develop further. Suspenders for Hope started off offering resources and the program to students. And now we're established in other sectors and for folks in the workplace and community members and abroad. So it's that growth that came from really understanding what the development needed. And collaboration is also key. We've had some of our most meaningful partnerships and ideas come from working closely with other universities. We see that Suspenders for Hope, it's already here at Wichita State University, and it's a powerful model when you can take an initiative that has already shown success in one context and then adapt it to fill its needs in other universities or organizations.
Jessica, I want to follow up and ask you, what's one thing you wish more people understood about mental health support programs like Suspenders for Hope?
You know, to me, Lisa, this, all of it, everything really just comes down to relationships. It's being able to show love and compassion to people in difficult times in their lives. And, you know, to bring that message of hope. But to grow something like this, I've really learned that it's also the power of relationships and being willing to ask for help. I had an idea. I wanted to help more people. I created this program, and I didn't know how we would scale it. And I didn't know how we would, you know, take it off of the campus and the university. But Rob's team did. And they were willing to help me. So it's all about relationships. And if you can align what you're trying to do, whether that's a product that you're bringing to market or a technology, if you're aligning that with good intentions and you're trying to help, you know, solve problems or improve people's lives, and you're aligned with good intentions and you ask the right people who know what they need to know and allow them to help you, and you realize it's not all up to you, then that will take you a long way. I mean, this may sound, you know, strange, but I absolutely love these two guys. They have been there for me as through difficult times. I've got myself in some messes, and I'm so grateful that, you know, they kind of helped sort it out and are just supporting me in this mission. So it's all about relationships.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. And I'm thinking, Rob, that working on Suspenders for Hope has probably shifted your view of tech transfer's role in addressing societal needs a little bit.
Yeah, I think, Lisa, for me, it's made me realize that technology transfer in some ways kind of got, you know, pigeonholed into this narrow aspect of it's meant for patentable technologies, and what we're supposed to do is get a patent. And then once we have a patent, we go out and we find some way to license the patent. And while that is definitely, undoubtedly, one primary focus of technology transfer, I think for me, this whole Suspenders for Hope program has made me take a big step back and just focus even on the term technology transfer. It's not patent licensing offices. We're not PLOs. While we do patent licensing, that's not all we do. And so technology transfer is, how do I transfer the technology off of this campus and into the hands of people where it can make the biggest impact? And another thing that I think technology transfer offices can often fall into the trap of, and I know certainly I've experienced this myself, is we become very focused on what are the licensing fees associated with this? How do I get an upfront licensing fee? And I think I understand why that mindset starts to creep in, but really this project has made me realize we've always got to keep checking that mindset with the mission of tech transfer is not to generate royalties. That is an outcome that occurs if you are successfully performing the mission, which is transferring the technology off the campus and into the hands of someone who can use it and amplify it. And for Wichita State, being an urban serving research university, the lucky part for me and for my team is that from the president down, we really lean into the fact that as a university, we are here for this community in the city of Wichita. We are here for the region. And so it really makes me be able to recognize that technology transfer does have a role in addressing societal needs, and that when I have a president, Rick Mima, who personally knows about the Suspenders for Hope program, who, when he runs into Jessica, will talk about Suspenders for Hope. And I'm sure there's probably photos of Rick out there wearing one of the Suspenders for Hope shirts as well.
Oh, when yeah.
So when you have that from a top down, it helps me in my position recognize that, yes, tech transfer does generate royalties and does have that type of a component to it. But we can also focus on addressing these societal needs, and that really leans into the mission of the university.
Absolutely. And Zeeshan, I wanted to give you a chance to build on what Rob just had to say as the podcast comes to a close here. What would you like to say to tech transfer professionals who might be interested in pursuing more socially impactful projects?
I think Rob put it in some really great words to really think about what makes that impact. I know he's had to remind me a few times whenever we start talking about the details of an agreement or all of that. And again, with it being important, it really is the bigger picture that, you know, we want to look at. And so to all the tech transfer professionals out there, my advice would be really simple. Find something that you truly resonate with and dive into it with your whole heart. I think to Rob's point, it starts from the very, very top with President Mooma and comes all the way down to our office and through Rob's leadership. And, you know, having that established mindset where you're all on the same page is very important. So whenever it comes to socially impactful projects, these projects don't often present themselves at your doorstep every day. You really need to go out and seek them if there isn't a project like that you have established. But start by engaging with people in your university or in your organization to identify any current efforts that hold commercialization potential. Collaborate with these individuals to create projects that are not only compelling, but can be pitched effectively and also scaled if successful. And, you know, if a tech transfer professional runs into issues and, you know, there's always those pivot points. So if these efforts aren't apparent within the organizations, then consider looking outward. Consider looking at community initiatives and how it might align with your organization or university's mission. And it can really lead to discovering opportunities that your team or organization can champion from there.
Well, Rob, Zeeshan, and Jessica, thank you so much for being on the podcast today, for sharing the story of Suspenders for Hope. It's absolutely incredible. And congratulations on just such an amazing social initiative.
Lisa, I am so grateful to you for helping us, share this story. And thank you for all that you do. I think there's a lot of potential, you know, to do a lot of good out there with some partnerships with the different, our social sciences and our tech transfer people. We can make a lot of change.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you so much, Lisa. It was a pleasure being a part of the podcast and the discussion. Look forward to listening to it and for episodes to come. So thank you.
Thank you, Rob, Zeeshan, and Jessica for sharing the story of Suspenders for Hope with us. It's inspiring to see tech transfer being used to tackle such an important issue as mental health. We hope this episode encourages our listeners to think about how tech transfer can support initiatives that extend beyond traditional innovations and positively impact our communities. To our listeners, if you want to learn more about Suspenders for Hope, check out the link in our episode notes. Thanks for tuning in to Autumn on the Air, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Autumn on the Air with Lisa Mueller. Get social with us and share your thoughts. You can tweet us at AUTM or visit us online at AUTM.net. We'll be back next week on the air. Be sure to join us.